above the horizontal.
Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball. And Felder scored. Felder scored in the corner.
Welcome to Above the Horizontal, a podcast about the NRL. I'm your host, Bo Nicholson. On this episode, we will be discussing our players of the week, our wildcard awards for round five, the weekly hot take, which is, who is the silkiest forward we've ever seen? We'll also be talking about the Rabbitohs in some depth. We have talked about them this season so far, but my goodness, there's some stuff going on. We will hear from the Big E, Owen Gibson, with his phenomenal tip of the week. We'll discuss the match of the round for round six, as well as our tips and bold predictions. To help me do that, I'm joined by two of our panelists tonight. Chris Waring. Hello, Chris. We haven't seen you for a bit. Who is your player of the week for round five?
Thanks, Bo. Good to be back. I'm going to go with Sean Johnson of the New Zealand Warriors. Absolutely put the sword to South Sydney over the weekend, which is very typical. I mean, there were lots of great players last week, but I think I kind of selected him as a point of, I was beyond, before last season, I pretty much wrote his career off as done and dusted pretty much. He's had a great turnaround, and even, you know, even into this year, with, you know, the amount of injuries they've had in the halves with Metcalf gone and all that, still turned it up and put on the clinic. So, yeah, I'm going to go Sean Johnson as my player of the round.
Great choice. I would have to say, my favorite player at the moment, I think Sean Johnson, because obviously on the field, he's excellent and has been for a lot of his career. So exciting to watch, but off the field as well, he just speaks so well. He's so respectful, gives genuine answers. I love that dude. And he's good looking as well. Doesn't hurt. Speaking of good looking, we have obviously Chris, you're very good looking, but also Kieran Gibson is here. Hello, Kieran. Who's your player of the week?
Hey boys. From Real Sport When I Want It, and Chris from Strava. Just before I get to my player of the week, I'd just like to call out Jack McDonald from the chat. He stole my bike from me about a month ago. I have fears that I may have lost it to Narang, but if anybody sees it, it's a black hybrid bike. Please call the cops so I can have it returned.
What's going on at the moment, Kieran? Are you okay?
I'm all right. No, that's just a chat in joke. Actually, other than my player of the week, my bold also got up last week. I had six home teams to win, and I think seven home teams won. I only tipped like four or five out of eight, but my bold won. So if I had followed my bold, I would have done way better. But I had Jerome Hughes comfortably as the best player of the week. He didn't have his best season last year, but I felt like it was a return to the Jerome of 2019 to 2022, full of confidence and backing his running game and vision. And yeah, it was, I think he's, for me, he's probably one of the most underrated off-the-cuff players in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, Melbourne play fairly structured, but when there's broken play, Jerome plays eyes up footy, and yeah, he's really able to exploit defenders that are tiring, or even early in the game. Yeah, I think back to that prelim in 2020 when he just cut the Raiders to shreds in the first 20 minutes. So yeah, he was back to that sort of form, and it was awesome to watch.
Well, you are an editor's nightmare, I've got to tell you. that was fun. I've got my player of the week is also like both of yours, Sean Johnson, Jerome Hughes. Gave an outstanding performance on the weekend, and also quite a eyes-up kind of exciting player to watch. Wade Egan from the Warriors. I don't think he's often associated with the idea of being an exciting player to watch, but if you go back and watch even just the highlights of the tries that the Warriors scored against the Rabbitohs, there's the third try and the fourth try that were both scored by Sean Johnson, as it turned out, were just exceptional work from Wade Egan in the middle of the field, really, from the halfway line, middle of the field. Just some great sleight of hand, bit of footwork, beautiful passing skills. He's a real one. And I'm starting to subscribe to the idea that, Chris, you keep putting forward, that Wade Egan would be above Reece Robson in the pecking order. I'm starting to believe. You've recruited me.
Well, yeah, you know, not to say I'm a genius, but no, I just think nothing against Reece Robson. He's a very good player, but it's more so about Wade Egan's, I guess, ascension. Been very underrated for a long time, and I think some of the, I guess, social media exposure, or you know, the Wars and all that stuff has put more eyes on the Warriors. So I think more people are starting to see the you know, how good he actually is.
I've typed his name in the Word document that I've got here as Wade, W-A-Y-D-E, which is correct. That's how you spell it. I just double checked, but it looks wrong. I don't like it, Wade. So if you can sort your first name out, that'd be great. Speaking of sorting out stuff, let's sort out the wildcard awards for this week. For anyone that's new to the show, hello, welcome. Each week we do just a random award that we give out to something that happened in the previous week in rugby league. And this week we're doing it for round 5 of the NRL Premiership. Chris, we'll start with you. What's your wildcard award for this week?
All right, I'm going the totally freaking epic celebration award. It's kind of Kyle Felt, who broke the Cowboys try scoring record. And look, it was just, I don't know if it's because I dislike Kyle Felt, but it was just so cringeworthy when, I think it was an intercept with like no real chase, who just jogged to the try line, and he just like put the ball down and celebrated as if he was freaking Wolverine. it was just embarrassing. But, and so like egocentric, it's like, man, you're a winner. Like, come on. And I think, did he go past Michael Morgan? Was that the person he went past?
Matty Bowen.
Oh, Matt Bowen. Okay. Well, yeah, someone who's, you know, 3 times a player Kyle Felt was. So let's be a little bit humble and accept that you're a winger who's been at this one club. That's the only reason why you broke the award, but or broke the record. But saying all that, congratulations, Kyle Felt. But he did get the freaking epic celebration award this week. Yeah. Congrats, Kyle Felt.
This is a long running battle. This is a couple of seasons in the making, ever since that quite unfair penalty that went against the Tigers in right on the stroke of full time on review that Kyle Felt milked, which I accept. He does seem like a bit of a dodgy fella, certainly on the field, Kyle Felt. And personally, I preferred it when Matty Bowen held the record. He's one of my favorite players, but alas. Speaking of wingers, my wild card is regarding a winger. Mine is for sexiest send-off, which goes to Dom Young. So obviously the send-off offense itself was not sexy. He had a swinging arm with, you know, a bit of a jump on a shorter man and completely knocked out Blake Taff, which is obviously not great. That's not sexy at all, Mr. Young. But what was sexy was afterwards, he sort of tore his shirt a little bit in a bit of a scuffle with Stephen Crichton, and he was given his marching orders after the worst quarter of football that I've ever seen from a footballer. And the way that he slowly walked off, I've got to say, I'm not gay, but I will learn. I will, you know, to quote The Simpsons. So the sexiest send-off I think I can ever think of goes to Dom Young after that effort. Tremendous stuff. Kieran, what's your wildcard award this week?
I have the Curious Case of Benjamin Button Award, which goes to Latrell Mitchell. He's been much maligned for pretty much all of his career, exploded onto the scene with the Roosters in, I think, 2016. But it kind of seems that the longer his career goes on at the moment, at least the last 3-4 years, the more the good memories of his ability and moments of brilliance are becoming a thing of the distant past. I think back to the last time I can think he really sort of owned an arena or owned a few consecutive games in a row was maybe 2021 Origin. He was really, really good. And then... Mm-hmm. I think back before that, I think to the 2019 grand final when he flicked that ball out for Tupou that set up the match-winning try. But yeah, ever since he's joined the Rabbitohs, he's struggled massively to replicate the form he showed as a youngster. With admittedly, he was at a star-studded Roosters side that was, if you are to believe what the media says, that Roosters side that won back-to-back premierships was a lot more disciplined than this Rabbitohs side. And yeah, injuries haven't helped Latrell, but if he wants to turn his career around and see that hard work and persistence pays off rather than relying on the natural talent that everybody knows he has, he'd do well to look at Cooper Cronk's career. I looked up Cronk a couple of days ago, and Kronk didn't actually play Origin until he was 26. Wasn't highly noticed, in my opinion, until around 2010, 2011 in my mind. And Kronk debuted in 2004. So, I mean, Latrell's been around already 8 years, but he still has so much time left in the NRL if he really wants to have a great legacy there. I hope he doesn't peter out like this. He's still got so much football ahead of him. He can still do so much. But yeah, Kronk came into his own at around 26. Latrell's 26 now. But I guess the difference is everybody knew that Kronk was already a great player that deserved his spot each week because of how much work he put in during the week leading up to a game. And then on game day, Kronk showed that the fight and intelligence every single game that we seldom see in Latrell. So yeah, I think Latrell's kind of got to realize, like, he's got an amazing natural ability for rugby league, but if he's not willing to discipline himself and actually try and listen to others and yeah, I guess just contribute more to the team rather than thinking of himself. Yeah, until then, it's a bit sad to watch, just because he's got so much ability that the sky's the limit for the guy, and it's a bit shit watching him not really put in everything into the game.
Kronk is one of those guys that is on that next tier below immortal status for mine. So I don't think he'll ever get there to that status. I don't think he ever should. But he is at that next tier of genuinely great player. And I'm old enough to remember when he first became the halfback of the Storm. It feels like it might have been 2006 when they went to the grand final and lost to the Broncos. I'm pretty sure that's correct, because they started off with Brett Camorley as their halfback when they started in 1998. Then they had Matt Alford and two really good halfbacks, Camorley especially. And then suddenly Alford was on his way out, and they had to try and find a halfback. They didn't have a halfback. And they just decided that Kronk, who up to that point, as you said, he debuted in 2004, up to that point, he was a utility. He was just some guy they picked up from Brisbane North who just worked really hard and just filled a few gaps and whatever. You could throw him in the centers or in at lock or whatever. And they just gave him a crack and just said, hey, you're going to be the halfback. And he just made it work. He just worked his ass off. That's the difference. Latrell Mitchell is absolutely a far more talented footballer than Kronk would ever be. But Kronk is almost an immortal because of his work ethic. I'd love to see Latrell turn it around, and I'm sure I speak for all of us when I say that. Let's jump into the main news, actually, because the main news was going to be about the Rabbitohs and their situation at the moment. And Chris, I'll throw to you first. What you've been critical of Jason Demetrio on this podcast before. The record is now 5 wins from their last 20 games. It includes a period of time where Sam Burgess went to the powers that be with grave concerns about the way that the club was being administrated and coached and performing on the weekends. And he had to basically walk away from the club because he was not being respected as much as he would have liked. And we're starting to see that maybe Sam Burgess had a point. Do you think Demetrio's stay at the Rabbitohs is a tenable situation, Chris? And assuming that it's not, what do they do from here to get themselves back on track?
You would say no, just based on like the intensity of media speculation that it's now at, which has gradually accelerated. I don't know if you guys saw this, but about an hour ago, there was an article both by like Nine and Fox Sports that Mal Meninga could be the replacement coach for Jason Demetrio.
Yeah, for the rest of the season, right? Caretaker style.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's so many stuff floating around. I mean, there's who knows really what to believe. It's purely just speculation. You know, I've heard, you know, there's obviously Wayne Bennett, and then I heard John Morris as well, which, you know, he was the one who left with Burgess. So who really knows? But I think just the environment of commentary, you know, and they've got like a really hard schedule coming up as well. I know they play like three difficult teams. I think the Storm and Penrith are included in that. So yeah, I really can't see a way out of this unless they have some kind of miraculous turnaround. Speaking of which, I don't think dropping Damian Cook is the answer.
No.
Anyway, but yeah, it just screams of a man who has probably lost the playing group. There's so many leaks coming out around, you know, what's happening at meetings and this, this, and that. So, yeah, I guess that was really like the moment of the Burgess and Morris walkout, which was, you know, symbolic of, like, I guess, the, you know, the end of Demetrio's, or the start of the downfall of Demetrio's coaching, you know, career at South Sydney. So I'd be surprised. It'd be very impressive if they somehow shut all the noise out and got out of this. But the wheels seem to be coming off a bit on this season. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I suspect Hornby will take over for the rest of the year. It could be Mamanuga. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd probably go Ben Hornby myself. But I always thought John Morris was a very capable coach. And I think that's seen in some of the improvement in the Tigers' defense this year in a short amount of time. So, but maybe they wouldn't go back based on players. And yeah, I don't know, to be honest. If there's a new coach, I reckon it could be a lot of movement out of South Sydney. Obviously, Walker's getting on. So yeah, I don't know, to be honest. But I suspect Demetrio probably has 1 or 2 weeks left if results continue this way.
As was reported by, I think it was Bulldog Richie, for what that's worth, and Buzz Rothfield, for what that's worth. Apparently, he has 80 minutes to save his career. So that's the 17th place Rabbitohs, dead last, behind the Titans, for Christ's sake. The Titans, of course, had a bye to prop them up a little bit, but still, on for and against, the Rabbitohs are 17th. The Sharks are fourth at the moment, playing against the Sharks this weekend on Saturday. Then they have a bye, and then to speak to what you were saying, Chris, they have the Storm and then the Panthers in consecutive weeks. By then, we may well have a different coach in mind. Kieran, you were talking earlier about Latrell and the thus far squandered talent. I mean, obviously, he's achieved great heights and he's won 2 premierships, so it's not entirely squandered. The guy's a very capable, well-decorated player, but it still feels like he hasn't reached what he can do. And I also wonder if it's an ego problem in the Rabbitohs team. You look at a guy like Latrell Mitchell, he's clearly got an ego. He clearly wants to be the biggest, toughest, strongest, fastest, best player in the room, right? I feel like Jack Whiten would have a bit of that. I feel like Cody Walker would have a bit of that. And I feel like there's some big personalities in that dressing room that Demetrio apparently has no control over. Chris mentioned that Mal Meninga was a potential. Kieran, do you think they should go for someone that's already at the club, going through what they're going through, an experienced coach like Ben Hornby to be a caretaker for the rest of the season? Or do you think it might be worth a punt on a guy like Meninga, who maybe isn't the best X's and O's coaches, but he has gravitas, and he has a reputation, and he has the ability to check egos? What do you think would be a good move for the Rabbitohs if they do part way with Demetrio?
Well, yeah, I think Demetrio's gone. Like, regardless of, say, South's win this weekend, the top 8's not happening this season, as you guys just alluded to with their next 3 games. Even if they get 1 win out of those next 3, they would probably have to win, like, 11 or 12 of their last 15, 16 games, so... yeah, that's just not happening. I wouldn't go Meninga just for that reason. Like, finals is out of the question, and I would prefer to get someone in that's kind of going to be there a bit more long. I think John Morris would be a good coach to go with. I think he was all right when he was at the Sharks, kind of fairly, I thought. Seems like the kind of guy that could discipline players. You were touching on big egos in the team, which is kind of the line of thought I was going down. It's easy to say this in hindsight, but the longer the time goes on, the more bizarre it seems to that the Rabbitohs got rid of Adam Reynolds and not Cody Walker or someone else, because Adam Reynolds is not really someone that I see as having a big ego, and he's also a year younger than Cody Walker, a bit more of a leader on the field, off the field, and Reynolds brings that control to a team. And yeah, I said it's easier to say this all in hindsight, but the Rabbitohs haven't replaced Reynolds since he left the Broncos, and that was now, I think, this is the third season since Reynolds has left. Yeah. So, yeah, it just makes it seem like an even more bizarre decision. Like, obviously, you can't know that Ilias or Hawkins aren't going to really kick on too much and that it's not really their fault, given the whole Rabbitohs team is struggling. But, yeah, if I was a Rabbitohs fan, you have to forget about Reynolds now, but I think I'd forgive them for thinking what could have been if Reynolds had stayed. It's a bizarre drop-off from... I can't even remember how the Rabbitohs... the Rabbitohs missed the eight last year, didn't they?
They were grand finalists when Wayne Bennett and Adam Reynolds were there in 2021. They were preliminary finalists, I believe, in 2022. And then they were first until about round 12th in last year, and then they missed the finals. So that's what we're talking about with that 5 wins in 20 games. You're speaking about they need to forget Adam Reynolds and move on from Adam Reynolds. And I agree with that. He seems pretty settled in Brisbane. One person that we keep hearing about is, Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett's going to be back there. Wayne Bennett's going to do this, because you mentioned that you would go with John Morris. Well, John Morris is currently contracted to the Tigers and he's doing an important role there. Would the Tigers let him go to be a caretaker somewhere else? Probably not. So they have to find a caretaker for this year, whoever that is, and then they start planning for their permanent position next year if Demetrio is gone. There's been lots of whispers about Wayne Bennett. Corey Parker has said, mark these words, Wayne Bennett will be coaching at the Rabbitohs next year. I don't know how much to trust that. Now, Chris, do you think going back to the future with Wayne Bennett is a good step for the Rabbitohs, considering their situation, considering his credentials?
Depends what they want to do. Look, Walker will be 35, I believe. So it's pretty much, if you're going to keep that group, right, the Cook, Mitchell, Walker group, I think Murray's a bit younger. So, but that if you want to have and you sign Jack White, and obviously with the intention to challenge for the premiership, not to come 17th. So, depends what they want to do with that, or if they want to kind of move White into a more central role and kind of move on Walker and that. So if they think that there's still a winning chance, which I just don't think they are, I think it's gone by them at this point. Mitchell's hard to get I just don't know, like, what the go is there. And Phil Gould made a point the other day on, I think, 100% Footy or whatever that show called online is, where it doesn't seem like, something's happened there where, like, the interest has gone, seemingly. Like, there's no real desire. There's too much criticism. And part of it is because I think there's an increase in, like, dislike towards Latrell Mitchell, some of which I think is because he's more vocal about First Nations issues, which I think obviously has some kind of impact on him. If you compare it to Latrell Mitchell in Origin, the best of him in Origin, that's someone who was in love with rugby league and was, filled with, the mist of the moment. And that's when he's playing his best football. And there's rarely been a better player than Latrell Mitchell in Origin.
Playing in his correct position as well, though.
Yeah, that's the point. And that's where you get the ego, can he accept that of, he doesn't have the workload of what the modern day fullback requires. Someone like Dylan Edwards, who is a lot of effort. He obviously is talented. He's playing first grade rugby league, but he's not the natural talent of a lot of others. But he's hard-headed, hard worker. So I think that's where it goes. It's what do they want with the current squad? Do they think it's still a premiership contending squad as it exists right now? And the only problem is coaching and desire and that mentality in the squad, or do they think it's time to move on some and rejig it in a kind of way? So I do know, though, that in John Morris's contract with the Tigers, I'm fairly certain he has a clause that he can leave if he gets offered a full-time first coaching gig. But I don't know, I think they were more about Burgess as a more contingency plan. So I don't know what the go is there. I think it's all I don't know how they're going to decide this as well, because obviously they need to have some kind of discussion with the coach that, do you think this is a premiership contender? And it's not going to happen this year. This season's almost on the way out, barring some miraculous turnaround. But I don't think they have that. I think their forward pack sucks, to be honest. There's not sort of great forward pack, and you know, the Lachlan Ilias and, you know, that whole situation now is injured. It's just a disaster after disaster. So, yeah, I'm not, it's a big question mark for me. And it's, I think whoever they hire as the coach will be indicative of what way the board is thinking. If they, if it's a Bennett or similar elk, as Crow Park would say, that'll be like, do we still got the squad? If it's a bit of a younger coach, or like a Hornby or whatever, I think that might be a, okay, we're going to try to realign the squad a bit.
Yeah, I could see that. Let's move on to the hot take of the week. I've been watching some old Origin games, and it got me thinking about the silkiest forwards we've ever seen. Now, to be clear about this, this does not include hookers. So we can't throw in someone like a Wade Egan or a Coruscant or even a Cameron Smith. Like, you know, there's plenty of silky hookers throughout our time watching rugby league. And this will also be, as I said, players that we've seen. So it's not going to be someone from the 80s, 70s or whatever. I don't care. Like, if you think that Arthur Beetson was more silky than who we say, you're probably correct. We didn't see him play. So he probably won't be on this list unless someone goes rogue on me right now. Kieran, who is the silkiest forward that you can remember seeing?
So I had a few players in mind. So I went on YouTube and had a look at their highlights to try and get a better idea of, yeah, who I had a player come to mind straight away that, and I went with them in the end. But yeah, I had a look at the likes of Ben Condon. I had a look at my two main players in mind were Glenn Stewart and Filete Mateo. I think they were kind of no-brainers for me. I was trying to stretch my mind to think of other players, but I couldn't really think of anybody else. I had honorable mentions for Watmo, who I thought was underrated as skillful in certain ways, his balance, agility, speed, and strength for someone of his size. And then I had Dean Witters as well. But yeah, Filete and Glenn Stewart really stood out. And I went Filete Mateo purely on skill. I think he was the most naturally gifted and pleasant on the eye forward I've ever seen. Made it, the game look so easy. Had the kicking game of an established halfback, the silky soft hands and flick pass. And most notably for mine, when I was watching him on YouTube, he was so light on his feet, even when he was in full stride. And he had this selfless presence of mind to always look to set up a teammate rather than do it alone, although he also had the ability to break a game open on his own. As I said before, he just had a skill set that most halves playmakers would be envious of. He's the kind of player that maybe the Rabbitohs could do with if he would actually put in a shift. They could do with his skill at the moment. And
they've got plenty of skillful players, the Rabbitohs. But yes, Filete Mateo, I didn't think of him. He's a good pick. Chris, what comes to mind for you with silkiest forwards you've ever seen?
Yeah, well, Kieran actually mentioned two of mine, so I'll just go fuck myself.
Cheers. Yeah, no worries.
So the two I had Filete Mateo as well. Real great underrated passer. I also had Dean Witters was the other one I had at the top of my head. Just super skillful. Someone else that I think was underrated, especially for like a prop, Todd Payton. Todd Payton was a good passer, a prop, pretty underrated ball player. It was real good, back then when it wasn't as commonplace for forwards to be, or props to forwards in general, to be throwing, first receiver passes. He's a bit ahead of his time a bit. And someone else I had, I know he did play a bit of hooker. No, it's not Nicho Hynes. It's Dean Young. Dean Young was very good when he played lock and back row. Very good player. And the best ball playing lock of all time was Jackson Hastings for the West Tigers.
Well, hey, I mean, we've got to pay it. I'll come to mine in a second. I think of guys like Isaiah Yeo is obviously a very silky, the way that he gets around the park and throws his beautiful passes. He's definitely in that kind of category. Josh Schuster, New South Wales Cup legend. the current situation with him at the moment, as far as we can tell, is that he's $800,000 a year contract. He's been released from it immediately, apparently. So apparently, as we speak, he's been released from his contract with Manly, which means that he's almost certainly already lined up his next move. But I haven't heard an official response on that one yet, just as an aside. There's two players that I want to give a shout out to from the 90s, in fact, and one of them into the mid-2000s. So Nick Kossef from Manly was a wonderful ball player. He played lock for Manly quite a lot in the late 90s. He's injury riddled, unfortunately. But he, you had Jeff Tuvey and at halfback, who isn't the most naturally gifted ball player. And you had Jim Sidaris as your hooker, again, not the most gifted ball player. You did have Cliff Lyons at 5'8". So you had Nick Kossef often at first receiver doing great work, and then Cliff Lyons just the icing on the cake. The Manly were such a good team in the late 90s. He gets a shout out. But my actual, the most silky forward I've ever seen is Jason Smith from, so cigarette legend, Jason Smith, loved a ciggy after a game. So he played for the Bulldogs, played for the Eels in the NRL era, went to the Cowboys, played a bunch of 5'8 for them, and went to the Raiders. So by the end of his career, he had sort of become a 5'8 because he had the skill set. His skills are nuts. I'll be watching an NRL YouTube channel. The official NRL YouTube channel has been posting 14-15 minute highlights of Origin games. It's well worth a watch. They're currently up to the year 2000 right now. Jason Smith is the lock for Queensland at that time. And some of the stuff, he's like a cheat code. Some of the stuff that he can do is nuts. Like, he's kicking field goals at the end of 1998's game three. He's, throwing ridiculous slick passes that you'd see it now and it'd be like, that's such a risky pass, but he's just throwing them in Origin games when the game's on the line. Deceptive footwork, a little like a 10-meter speed, pretty good. 40-meter speed, not so much. As I said, did like a cigarette, Mr. Smith. But one of those guys that just made it look easy. And when I think of silky, that's what I think of. A Dean Witters, a Folletti Matteo, guys that make it look, Jackson Hastings, if you will, Chris. Huh. Guys that make it look easy. So Jason Smith is mine.
To do an honorable mention, I just sort of Dave Taylor.
Grubber and chase legend, Dave Taylor. I remember that try.
Not so much silky, but like, it was a bit clunky, but like genuinely smart ball player. It's such a contrast to how big the guy was. He's one of the great unrealized talents of the NRL, I think. But yeah, I think he's worth it.
Absolutely. He was such a gifted athlete. Let's go to the Big E with his phenomenal tip of the week.
G'day, boys. This is the Big E. I'm doing my Big E phenomenal tip of the week today. My first tip for the first match on Thursday is the Newcastle Knights against the Roosters. Yeah, my next tip, I'm going to tip the Storms. I tip the Broncos, Manly Seagulls, and I tip the Cowboys and Sharks, Tigers I tip, and I will also tip the last match, the Raiders at home at GIO Stadium. Oh yeah, and my wild card, I'm actually going to say congratulations to Canberra Bulldogs to beat the Roosters. Congratulations to them, a good win. They might do that again this year. And for my board petition, boys, I think I am going to say it again. Actually, this is actually a different one, but let Scott Drinkwater will get free tries. Chad Tansfield will get two tries. That is my board petition, boys. This is the Big E. Enjoy the pod and have a great night. This is the Big E, baby. What? Enjoy.
Thank you, Big E, Mr. Owen Gibson. You can always tell when the Big E records the phenomenal tip of the week around his parents. He's a little bit more subdued than usual, the Big E. If he does it at his class on Wednesdays, he's up and about with his what's and Big E outs and doggies and all that sort of stuff. But in front of the parents, a little bit more subdued. just a little bit. And also more subdued in his predictions, I see. Chad Townsend only down to score 2 tries this week instead of 4 last week. So, although I will give credit to the Big E, he predicted Mike Acevo to score 3 tries and Canberra to beat the Eels. And Canberra did beat the Eels, and Mike Acevo scored 2 tries. That's pretty good. I'm almost going to pay that, I think. So thank you to the Big E for his predictions. Boys, let's get into ours. To start off, Chris, what do you think will be the game of the week? What are you most excited to watch in round 6?
Well, I guess from a narrative perspective, it's probably the Rabbitohs and the Sharks. I think there's a lot of waiting on that game. But I would say from a footy perspective, I would say Warriors-Seagulls. Warriors are flying a bit now and the Seagulls are pretty inconsistent. They had a shocker the week before last, but beat Penrith last week. So at their best, they're a team that's extremely capable. But at their worst, they're dog shit. So I'm sure they'll settle into a groove at some point. But yeah, I've got that as my game of the round. Ironically, at the absolute worst time, Saturday 3 p.m.
Very good. At Go Media Stadium, of course. Kieran, same question to you.
I'm most looking forward to the... I love watching the Warriors, so I am very much looking forward to that Warriors-Seagulls game. I think the Warriors win, but... So for that reason, I've gone the Dolphins and Broncos game because I'm still kind of undecided who will win that. Dolphins top of the table, and whilst their opponents haven't been, the toughest, they still play quite well, and their defense is the equal second best in the league. So, I don't know. Yeah, Isaiah Katoa's had a really good start to this season. It's at Suncorp. Local derby. I think that'll be the game of the round at the primetime kickoff. That's the game I'm most looking forward to from a sort of a spectator clash, but I love watching the Warriors. Can't wait for that 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday.
We've shouted out all three of the ones that I'm excited for particularly. Obviously, I love watching the Cowboys play. I'm hopeful we'll beat the Eels on Saturday. We will, of course, we. But if I was going to give them out like a medal system, I would say the bronze medal would be the Rabbitohs Sharks purely for narrative, like Chris was talking about. Silver would be the Warriors Sea Eagles one because they're both capable of really good footy and both in good form. And yes, the gold medal match for mine, and this will feed into my bowl prediction, will be the Broncos and the Dolphins. Time for some tips. Chris, you didn't get to give your tips last week. Did you tip anywhere else? Do you know how many you got right?
I got 6 out of 8 last week.
Oh, well done. Very good. I did not. I got 4 out of 8. We already heard that Kieran got his bold, so Kieran is the master at this point. So don't listen to me this week. I'm not in good touch. Chris, seeing as you got 6 out of 8, that's pretty good. Why don't you run through your tips for the week?
Sure. So first game, Knights and Roosters. I'm going to go the Roosters. I don't believe in the Knights specifically, although I think that with Gamble gone, they were better last week. But I think Roosters will be a bit sore after the insane clash that was the Roosters and Bulldogs game. Interesting to see Connor Watson's that in the halves as well. The Friday game, Storm and Bulldogs. So I'm going to go Storm. Kieran touched on how impressive Jerome Hughes was. They're firing a bit. Even the Bulldogs, had an impressive. They got the point at least. It'll be interesting to see how they respond. But they were decimated injury wise. So there's that to consider. Mm-hmm. Broncos Dolphins. I'm going to go the Broncos. I don't believe in the Dolphins. I don't think they're a true reflective first place. I think they're a pretty good team. With a chance for the 8, but I think they've mostly played not amazing teams so far. So Broncos for mine, Reece Walsh back. I'm going to go the Warriors, although I'm not sure about this. Manly are incredibly hard team to pick this year so far anyway. It's kind of hard to know what you're going to get each week. I'm just going to go the Warriors just based on some, I guess, longer form over the last year and a bit. Mm-hmm. It was Cowboys. So I still haven't tipped a Cowboys game right this year. Oh, wait. No, wait. No, they beat the Titans, didn't they? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I did tip the Cowboys. Dejan Arce is back from Parramatta in the house, which I think is very good because last year when he was there, he was effective.
Yes.
So And they are under their, I think they're about to face a bit of pressure, the Eels. So I'm going to go Parramatta to beat the Cowboys with no real faith. I just think something's got to switch.
Get absolutely fucked, mate.
Rabbitohs Sharks. I'm going to go to Sharks. I guess Rabbitohs just garbage. It's not much outside of that. West Tigers, Dragons. I'm going to go the West Tigers.
Yes. Yes, do it.
Yeah. I don't like the bench, though, but Tigers have a few injuries. Bateman's out and Samila Fainu. I just want to shout out, Samila Fainu has been such a good signing.
Such a good signing.
Yeah. Bit of a hot bench, which I think is good and very tough. I'm going to go with Tigers, but I'm not sure about that. Bit of a coin flip. And then last game, there's no way in fucking hell you can tip the Titans. I'm going to go to the Raiders.
Watch me. Nah, I'm kidding. thank you, Chris. That's awesome. Kieran, same for you. What are your tips this week?
I've gone the Knights. I think even though they've started the season with 3 losses and 2 wins, I still think they're slowly building into the season. Ponga's, in my opinion, he's still continued his form from last season. Statistically, it doesn't look as good on paper as his form last season, but last season was ridiculous. And in the rain last week, he was still so elusive and such an attacking threat. Some of the bits of skill he pulled off was, yeah, just phenomenal, Vaughn. And they've built a team around him of really hardworking players. And, yeah, I like the cut of their jib. As has been the call on this podcast before about a team or a player. I think they're going to make the 8, and yeah, I think that they could, I don't know. I don't want to call it too early, but the competition is pretty strong this year as well. But yeah, if I was a Knights fan, I think things are looking up. I've gone the Storm by plenty. Ginnane. Broncos to win with the return of Reece Walsh, but I think it'll be decided by 10 points or less and on a knife's edge until the last 5 or 10 minutes. And I can't for the life of me understand why Ben Takura is on the reserves bench and 19th man at that.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors have gone because they're capable of putting on a big score or staying patient and gridly defending their way to a win. I think they'll go deep into September once again. I've gone the Eels. It's a bit... Oh, just give me 2 seconds.
Are you okay?
He's reversing his take.
Sorry. There was like a beeping... I don't know if you could hear that beeping noise.
Yeah, we could. Yeah. I'm going to leave that in because Chris had a really good bit there. okay. You said you're going for the Eels. What?
Yeah, I guess that fridge behind me was getting a bit pissed off as well. It's a toss of a coin game. Both sides had bad lapses in concentration and they let themselves down in key effort areas in defense. So I'm backing the Eels purely on home ground advantage. And yeah, I had in my notes the same as Chris that I like the addition of Dejan Arce coming into the side. I can't trust my Cowboys much at the moment, the way they capitulated in the second half against the Titans until that friggin' epic play from Felt saved us. I've won the Sharks by plenty. The West Tigers, I think defense will be the difference maker in this game. And yeah, Tigers not only look more willing to defend and fight together as a team, but yeah, I think they have more players that are reliable defensively rather. Even if they're not the greatest defenders, they don't have as many that are lacking in effort. I think the Dragons still have some players that are happy to clock off at times. So backing the Tigers with their defense there. And then, to be honest, I actually kind of liked some signs from the Titans last week, especially in that second half. I've tipped the Raiders, but the way that when Sam Verrills came on, I thought he changed the game in the second half and nearly did enough to steal the game from the Cowboys. He took full advantage of the Titans forward pack when they started to get over the advantage line with his running out of dummy half. I think that's a bit of a game plan that they can kind of stick to. The Titans still have an amazing forward pack, even without Tino. that can really dominate the other team. And Sam Verrills was one of the only players on the field that kind of sort of noticed that and took full advantage of it and brought other players into the game. Jaden Campbell and AJ Brimson set up a try for each other off the back of some craft of Sam Verrills out of dummy half, and then the same with Verrills getting out of dummy half to set up Beau Fermor for a line break that eventually led to a Beau Fermor try. But yeah, the Raiders are, we talked about, I think like 2-3 weeks ago, the Cowboys being a team that we had to eat some humble pie on. The Raiders are another one of those teams. It's obviously still only 5 rounds into the season, but they're far exceeding my expectations. So yeah, on them, they're playing quite well.
We've gone a little bit different, a few of us. I'm going to go for the Knights as well against the Roosters. Home ground advantage. I also think that the Knights have more points in them at the moment, considering the Roosters have a bit of an injury situation. Joey Manu has won the Golden Boot from fullback, but I actually don't rate him as a fullback. I think he's a bit of a handbrake when it comes to attack. I think a little bit of a ball hog. And I'm worried about their ability to capitalize on any advantages they create. So I'm going to go for the Knights in that one. Storm by plenty, Ganane, especially with the fact that the Bulldogs have a couple of injuries as well. Stephen Crichton, a fullback, not a fan. Broncos, Dolphins, I think it's going to be close. I really do. I'm going to tip the Broncos, but I think it'll be close. Warriors and Seagulls. Warriors have a bit more class across the park, a bit more depth in their roster, and they're playing at home. So that's the Warriors for me. I am going to go, of course, for the Cowboys. Of course, I can't go without going for the Cowboys. But I do agree that Dejan Arcee is a good move. I still don't think Dylan Brown's a halfback, though. And I think bringing in Morgan Harper just creates more problems than solutions. Anyway, Cowboys for me. Sharks against the Rabbitohs, yes. I don't think the Rabbitohs are going to lose every game this year. I'm excited to see Jai Gray play fullback. But yeah, I don't know. Just the Sharks look a bit better this year, for sure. Tigers look better than the Dragons, for sure, as well. So I'm pretty happy to go for them. And in the last game, I just don't think the Titans are going to lose every game. But I am going to go for the Raiders because they're playing at home. They are playing better football. It's very hard to tip the Titans at the moment, and they haven't really addressed some of their problems. For example, AJ Brimson being maybe their best creative player and playing in the centers. It doesn't make a lot of sense for their roster. So there are some concerns there for the Titans. I wouldn't be shocked if they spring an upset. They will at some point this year, of course. But it's too hard to tip against the Raiders in that one, so I'll go for them. Boys, thank you very, very much for joining me this Wednesday night. It's just ticked over to 7 o'clock, so I'll wrap this episode up and start editing. But before I do, I'd like to hear a bold prediction from each of us. So, Chris, lovely to have you back. Thanks for joining us. What's your bold prediction for round 6?
So I'm going to go 2 games, a bit of contrasting score. So I think the Storm will win by 18 or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Eels-Cowboys game, I think the Eels are going to win by 6 points or less.
Well, that's encouraging at least. Kieran, thank you as well for joining us. You've been very consistent the last few weeks. I appreciate that. What's your bold prediction this week?
I've got 3 teams that lost last week will win this week. So that's the Broncos. They lost last week against the Storm. I think they'll beat the Dolphins. The Tigers lost to the the Tigers lost to the Dolphins last week. I think that they'll beat the Dragons this week. And the Eels lost to the Raiders. I think they'll be my Cowboys. So hopefully not, but
they're not your Cowboys anymore, mate. They're not yours anymore after this shit. You're out. You're out as far as I'm concerned. My bold prediction is going to be that I think the Broncos-Dolphins game will go to Golden Point. I just got a funny feeling. I don't know. And I've tipped the Broncos, but I've started to realize that I don't know who gets the job done in that situation. I think the Dolphins might actually be the better tip in that situation. But anyway, I'm going to go for a golden point game between the Broncos and Dolphins. That's my bold prediction. Thank you both very much for joining us. Thank you to the Big E for his contribution, as always, and even as restrained as it was in front of his parents playing nice. And thank you to all the listeners who tuned in. We really appreciate everyone that tunes in. It's a real thrill for us to present the show to everybody. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. Please tell a friend if they love rugby league so they can subscribe as well and go above the horizontal next week. But until then. Above the Horizontal is a rugby league podcast by the fans and for the fans. It's produced by our entire team of former writers for Real Sport, including Daniel Friend, Christopher Waring, Miles Steppen, Kieran Gibson, and me, Bo Nicholson. We'd love it if you could support us by telling a rugby league fan about us so they can go above the horizontal as well. Thanks for listening. See you next time.